Shalom Aleichem. We are continuing for the 21st of Kislev in Mishnah Yomi, Yevamot, chapter 11, Mishnah 7. Haya Echad Yisrael ve'Echad Kohen. If one husband was a Yisrael, a regular Jewish guy, and the other one was a Kohen, this refers back to yesterday, a case where a woman was in a marriage and then did not wait 3 months before entering a new marriage after the dissolution of the first marriage. So when this child is born, we know who the mother is, but we're not sure who the father is. It's one of the two husbands. So here in Mishnah Zion, perhaps the first one was a husband, and they were divorced, and she married Yisrael, or it was Yisrael who passed away, and she then married a Kohen. So no se isha ruya le Kohen. So this child, we don't know what he is. He has to marry a woman who can marry Kohanim, because he might be a Kohen. Eino matame lemetim, he cannot go to a cemetery, touch a corpse to become tame, like Kohanim cannot. Im nitma, but if he does become ritually impure, eino sufek rabayim, we don't whip him as we would whip a regular Kohen who was warned not to become tame. Eino ocho betruma, we do not give him truma to eat. Im ocho, but if he did go ahead and eat truma, eino mishalom keren vechomish. As you mentioned yesterday, you'd have to say, prove I'm not a Kohen, and then I'll have to pay. Eino cholek oleguran, he doesn't go to the threshing floor to claim his truma. But if he has his own truma from his own field, he can sell it to a Kohen and keep the money. He doesn't get a portion of what is divided amongst the Kohanim serving in the temple. We don't give him from the sacrifices in the temple. We don't take away his parts of sacrificial offerings. For example, if it's something where the Kohen would keep the hide, he would keep his hide and say, prove I'm not a Kohen, and then I'll give it. Potter min zroa l'chaim v'keva. He doesn't have to give another Kohen the parts of the animal that were customarily given to the Kohanim. Is one of the matnot kahuna, one of the gifts that the Torah stipulates go to the priests. Uvechoro, and his firstborn animal, yehe roe och yestav, it should go out to pasture until it becomes a bal mum, as we explained yesterday. When it is tam, when it is unblemished, the bechor animal must go to the temple and be a korban, obviously given to a Kohen first. The Kohen brings it as a korban, but if it gets a mum, gets a blemish, it cannot be a korban, it could be eaten in the home of the Kohen. But note, they know love chumri kohanim, chumri yisraelim, as we explained yesterday regarding his mincha offering. Hayushnehem Kohanim. But what if both husbands, husband A and husband B, were both Kohanim? So we know the father is one of these two men, and they're both Kohanim. So who onin alehim? He becomes an onin when one of these fathers dies. Hem onanim alav, and they're an onin for him, meaning on a day a Kohen is an onin, he does not take part in any of the sacrificial ritual events in the temple. Hu eino matami lehem, but he cannot go to the funeral and become ritually impure, but him hem eino matami lo. And the putative fathers can't become tamei for him. After all, we're not sure who the father is, and it's only the direct relative that a Kohen can go to the funeral and become tamei. Hu enu yoresh otan. He cannot inherit either of these fathers because the brothers of those fathers who are definitely their sons are going to say, hey, prove you're our brother. You know, you can't prove it. Aval hem yoshimoto. But they would inherit him, this indeterminate child, because if he has no other heirs, then his Yerusha, his estate, goes to his father, and here they would split it. Upater, and he's exempt, al makato, for striking, val kilalato, or cursing, shalze v'shalze, on either possible father. Now, the Torah forbids a child from cursing or hitting, God forbid, their parents, but here he can say, well, I cursed him, but he might not be my father. He has to prove he's the father. The Gemara comments, interestingly, if he hit them both at the same time or cursed them both at the same time, he would definitely be liable a death penalty in this case because for sure he got the man who was his father. Mishnah continues, Va'ole b'mishmar shalzei v'shalzei. He goes up with the mishmar. That's the shift of Kohanim. We discuss in detail in Tainit and in Sukkot. The Kohanim were divided into 24 shifts, which were further divided into 7 family units made up of different families of Kohanim. They each served for 1 week, took rotations, and the family units served for 1 day. So he would go up on both shifts if the Kohanim were 2 different shifts. But he doesn't get a portion of the gifts given to that shift because the other Kohanim could say, listen, you have to prove you belong in this family, in this shift, and you get. If both of the possible fathers were in the same mishmar, and also Gemara adds in the same Beit Av, the same family unit that all serves on the same day, no tochelik echad. This child would definitely get a portion. Mazel tov, let's go on to chapter 12. Finally, everything you wanted to learn about chalitza, but were never taught in elementary school. Mitzvat chalitza b'shlosha dayanim. The mitzvah of chalitza. Now that's interesting because chalitza is sort of, we've seen, sort of the backup mitzvah when you don't want to do yibum. So it's done in front of three judges. Afilu shloshtan hedyotot. Even if all three of them are normal guys, meaning not a rabbinically ordained judge with smicha that allows him to try advanced cases of kenasot and fines and penalties, but just three guys who are sitting as a court and are recognized as a judicial authority in this place. Holtza b'minol, if she did chalitza with a shoe, now the Torah says sandal, but if she uses a shoe, chalitzata kashera, that's still kosher. We'll see that there's shoelaces involved, it's good. Ban pilein, with a soft slipper, chalitzata pesula, that's not considered a sandal or a shoe. Basandal sheyesh lo akiv kasher. If the sandal has a heel, has some sort of strap in the back or something to retain the back of the shoe, that is a kosher sandal for the mitzvah of chalitza. Shein lo akiv, if it does not have a back, a heel retaining part, puzzle. So a flip-flop or a slide does not work, even if it also has laces. Min arkuva lamata, if it's from the knee and below, meaning the laces, we're going to see it's tied to the leg to retain the sandal. If it's below the knee, chalitzata kashera, that's still kosher, because below the knee is called the foot. And the Torah says, me'al raglo, you take the sandal off his foot. Min arkuva lamola, if the laces are tied above the knee, chalitzata pesula, that's not a foot anymore, it's a leg, so it does not fit with the verse. We will continue, God willing, with our chalitza tomorrow. Zai gesund, be well.